few of you came out this morning to view the video, and if you missed the video this morning, you really missed the video. Even if you saw it last year, or 2 years ago actually when we did this, the Easter experience, even if you saw it then, just ask anybody that showed up this morning if they got something else out of it. I'll tell you what, they'll all be shaking their heads, absolutely, including myself. You know, it talked about, and just two things real quick about the video this morning, and you can come next week. Next week is the second in the series. It's going to be another video. It's only about 30 minutes long, and then you can have some fellowship in the back, but you're definitely going to want to see it. You don't want to miss this. This week was about building roads to nowhere, and most of us do that. We build roads to nowhere, and we need to stop that. We need to start building roads to somewhere, and that somewhere is Jesus Christ. That somewhere is to heaven, okay? Building up treasures that way, because if you're building a road here, if you're building a road with the treasures of this world, guess what? That road is to nowhere. And when you leave here, you're going to leave it all behind anyway. So it doesn't really make any difference. The other thing is, Jesus, the servant, washed the feet of even his enemies. The feet. Think about that. When you go to work this week, when you go home to your family, when whatever, and somebody treats you poorly, you need to be willing to wash their feet and love them. It's hard, but Jesus did it. And we are to conform our lives to this, to the image of Jesus Christ. And that was the message this morning. It was very well done. Come next week. Come next week. Bring your friends. Today, what we're going to talk about, we're beginning our Easter experience. We were walking with Jesus, and now we're going to be dying with him. We're going to watch as his disciples watched him go to the cross. Today, what we're going to look at is dismissed by the soldiers. The message today is dismissed by the soldiers. And I wonder how many of us in the past have viewed Easter the way I have. That it's all about bunnies. It's all about candy. It's all about baskets, right? It's all about that new Easter outfit that you can wear on Sunday morning so that you're all pretty, the nice Easter hat that you have. I'm not going to wear an Easter hat this Easter, all right? Amen, Roger? Amen. You guys can wear Easter hats, and there's nothing wrong with that, okay? It's nothing wrong with having something nice to wear. It's nothing wrong with that at all. I'm not saying that. But that can't be the only reason. That can't be. That we just, that for the most part, we do that. And also, it gives us a weekend off, right? Because most of us have Good Friday off. And we have the long 3-day weekend. And that's how we view Easter. Man, it's going to be a nice weekend. It's going to be sunshine. I'm going to do a little golfing. I'm going to do a little washing cars. I'm going to do whatever you do on the weekend when it's nice. And I may even visit a church. I may even visit a church to listen to the pastor talk about Jesus who died 2,000 years ago. Right? Some of us view it that way. And then on Monday, it's back to work, and everything is forgotten. Everything that we heard the pastor say is forgotten. Because it's forgotten in our busyness. Because we get real busy. We get real busy with the road that we're building to nowhere. That's not going to get us anywhere. It's a road that you will eventually, towards the end of your life, when you're laying in a bed and you have about an hour's left, you're going to look back and say, boy, I wish I would have continued to build that road. I wish I'd have gotten another new car. I wish I'd have gotten another new something. I wish I'd have gotten some more money. I wish I'd have spent some more time at the office. That's what you'd be thinking of, right? No. Some of us are going to have a lot of regrets on that moment. Some of us are going to think about, you know what? Why did I build the road that I built? Why did I go that route? I need a little more time so I can build the right road. I need to have a little more time so I could tell my friends about the road that I wanted to build and never did. Tell my friends about Jesus Christ who died for them on the cross. It's not all about Easter bunnies, although it's okay. The life comes, then another year passes. I want this year to be different, family. I really want this year to be different for you. That's why we decided, Pastor Ron and I sat down, we said, what is going to be impactful? How is it going to impact people's lives from now on? How are we going to do that? How is God going to do that? How, you know, give us something. He said, walk with me. God says, walk with me. Walk with me for a little while and then die with me. And then when I'm resurrected on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, you know what? Then live with me and live for me. That's what it's all about. Amen? That's what it's all about. The next 6 weeks leading up to Easter, we will have an incredible time just to grow with him, to walk with him, to die with him. Because we will be exploring how what happened then, 2,000 years ago, will change everything now. It can change everything now. Picture you're in your mind's eye. And I like to say that because we have very vivid pictures in our minds. And today I want you to picture something. I want you to picture in your mind's eye for a moment Jesus nailed to the cross. He's hanging there. Blood dripping down. And as he looks down at the ground and he sees his bloody feet through blurry vision, and the pain that he is suffering, and that pain is not from, that blurry vision is not just from the pain, and I'm sure that he had blurred vision because of the pain, but because of the sweat and the blood that's dripping into his eyes. And he is absolutely powerless to wipe them out. He can't just take a napkin and wipe his eyes so that he can have a clearer vision. He's on the cross, and he's powerless to do that. It is the most painful, lonely, disgraceful moment of his life as he hangs there on the cross for 6 hours on that Friday. Do you picture it? Do you see it? Because what we're going to do is we're going to put something up there and we're going to show you what it looked like. Not today, but next week. He hung there. What did Jesus see when he was hanging there? What did he hear when he was hanging there? I want you to be with me when you do that. I want you to listen very carefully of what he saw and what he heard that day as he was hanging there. What did he experience that first Easter? What he witnessed was a number of people all around the cross who, whether they knew it or not, we're answering the question to life's most important question. There were a number of different responses to that question. And we often still choose these responses today as we each have to answer the life's most important question. What will we do with Jesus? Better yet, let's make it intentional. What will you do with Jesus? What will I do with Jesus? Because it's real easy to say, well, what will we do? What will we do? Let us do. What will I do with Jesus? Probably the first people Jesus saw were the soldiers who actually whipped him, beat him to within inches of his life, and then nailed him to that cross, the first people that he saw. He sees the soldiers who nearly beat him to death. And he saw what they were doing. They're all playing games at the foot of the cross. That's what they're doing. They're all playing games at the foot of the cross. They're huddled around in a circle and they're not concerned about what's happening above them on the cross. They have no clue. They're completely oblivious to it. He's just another criminal. He's just another Jewish rebel. That's what he is. Just another Jewish rebel to them. And so they gambled for his used clothes. Used clothes by a carpenter who claimed to be king. That's what they're doing at the foot of the cross. The most significant event in human history. And they are completely oblivious to it. The Son of God is dying on the cross above them, and they play games. Somehow they completely missed the one thing that had the power, the one person who had the power to change everything, to change absolutely everything. They quickly dismissed Jesus on the cross. Now, several gospels record this scene, but let's look at John chapter 19 and verse 23 and 24, John chapter 19. It says, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, 'Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they parted my remnants among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did.'" The reason that the soldiers who so quickly dismissed Jesus on the cross are the same reasons that people dismiss him today. It's too familiar. Familiarity. They had seen it all before. It's the law of familiarity that states no matter how valuable something is, no matter how precious that little thing is, given enough time, everything will be taken for granted. Just think about it. Think about something that's very precious to you that you've saved and saved and saved for. I'm talking a material thing right now. Say something that's so precious to you and you worked hard for it and you finally got it, and guess what? Does it mean as much to you today as it did when you bought it? You know how I feel about cars and trucks, right? Well, when I get a new truck, I really like it, right? Given enough time, I want to get rid of it. I don't like it anymore. Still works, still everything. But you get the idea. No matter how valuable something is, you become very familiar with it and you take it for granted. This was true of the soldiers as well. When it came to carrying out a crucifixion, today the death penalty is very, very unlikely that's going to happen. We don't see it. It's very rare and it makes the headlines, right? If somebody's going to be get the death penalty and go to the electric chair or whatever, it's very rare, right? what was commonplace back then. Death by crucifixion was common for the first century. It is said that during the Titus siege of Jerusalem, up to 500 people a day were whipped, tortured, and crucified outside the city walls in hopes that they would surrender. 500 people a day were crucified. During a When tradition talks about that Jesus, when he was a teenager, there was a Jewish rebellion near his town where he lived, so he knew about this. And to crush the rebellion, the Roman soldiers and the Roman army would crucify an Israelite every 10 meters along a road for a distance of 16 kilometers. You know what? That was 1,600 Christians, or not Christians, but Israelites, who were crucified in a 10-mile strip. 1,600. These guys, so these soldiers had probably performed this so many times, these crucifixions, it was almost like methodical. You know, you just get over here, we're going to pound you, we're going to whip you, we're going to put you up on the cross, and let's move on to the next victim. That's what it was like. It was a nasty job, but that was their job. And look how Matthew records it. Matthew 27. Let's go back to Matthew a little bit. Matthew chapter 27, 35 and 36. It says, "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it may be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there." They watched him. They sat down, they gambled, they played games at the foot of the cross, and then they sat down and looked up at him and watched him die. That's it. You get the impression it was no big deal. It was just another day at work. They have seen it all. The screams, the facial expressions, the pitiful pleas for mercy. They knew what to expect. In a matter of time, the breathing would stop. It would get labored. They would stop and life would end. And guess what? They would go home and eat supper. Just go home and eat supper. Didn't mean a thing. We get all too familiar. We get all too familiar with the Easter Bunny. We get all too familiar with just coming to church and doing our duty on Easter. And then we take a look and we listen to the pastor rave and rant about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. For many of us, the story of Jesus has become all too familiar. Kyle, who is Pastor Kyle, who created this video series, which I think is excellent and well done, reflected on his own story of familiarity with the story. He was in Central America on a missions trip showing a film, the Jesus film, and there were about 1,000 people there. And he tells this story. He says he's in this village, and there are thousands of people gathering. And this is the first time that they had ever heard about Jesus. This is the first time that they had ever seen a big screen like this with a video. It was the first time ever. And people are all gathered around, and as the Roman soldiers are beating them, they wanted to rush the Roman soldiers. They thought it was real. They wanted to rush them and help Jesus. This is a good man. They don't want him to do it. They hurt. They cried. They were devastated. Why? Why? Why are they doing this? They were hearing Jesus' story for the first time. The Easter story. To truly experience the Easter story in their lives. Kyle said, "At that moment, I want to hear the Easter story like it's the first time that I had ever heard it. Like it was the first time that those people ever heard it. And what an impact on my life, because Easter has become too familiar. It is possible for us to become so familiar with the cross that it no longer moves us. You know, when we sing the songs about the cross, and we're all too familiar with it. We pay no attention to the words, or maybe there is a tradition you do each year, and it doesn't always bring intimacy. It may even bring indifference. That's familiarity. The next one is prejudice. They were turned off by God's people. The Romans and the Jews hated each other. They absolutely hated each other. The Romans hated being stationed in Palestine. They looked down on the Jews as an inferior people. There was constant fighting among them. There was name calling. There was racial slurs. The Jewish zealots would carry knives under their cloaks, and when they would get close to in a crowd to a Roman soldiers, they would cut them. They would even, when they were isolated in isolated areas and there was a Roman soldier there, they would murder the Roman soldier. Chances are, because of their prejudice towards the Jews, they relished the opportunity to crucify and to torture a Jewish carpenter. They were so prejudiced against God's people that they couldn't see the Savior dying for their sins. And maybe that's you. Maybe you have dismissed Jesus because you've developed a prejudice against those who follow God. Those who follow Jesus Christ. Now, this is for those who don't know Christ as Lord over your life. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you have become so callous because you have this prejudice against God's people. And I'm talking to the church right now, too, because maybe you have caused that prejudice. Maybe the church has left a bad taste in your mouth, and you won't taste and see the Lord is good. There was a survey that asked people who don't attend church why they didn't attend. Number one reason was because it's boring. They haven't come to Calvary yet. Amen? I want to hear everybody say amen on that one. All right. The number two other reason, number two, is because they don't really like the Christians they knew. What a sad estate. They don't like the Christians. Many of the people interviewed had stories of how that the church had burnt them. Maybe you've shut Jesus out of your life because a Christian exploited you or cheated you out of some money. Maybe your neighbor has a Christian bumper sticker and you hear him yelling at his wife every Sunday. Maybe your Christian coworker stabbed you in the back. I challenge you today to look beyond the hypocritical, imperfect Christians and look towards Christ. Amen? Don't let a prejudice towards people, God's people, keep you away from embracing God's Son. Zacchaeus was a great example. He's a wealthy tax collector. He's in Jericho, and he learns about the Jesus coming through. But there was a big crowd around Jesus, and no one would let him through. He's a little guy, and nobody's letting him get to Jesus because of all the people who were surrounding him and selfishly keeping him for himself, themselves. But guess what? He didn't just go home and say, boo-hoo, those bad people were around Jesus and they're not letting me in. No, what did he do? He climbed a tree. And he said, hey, Jesus, I'm here. I know there's a crowd of people around you, and I know they don't like me too well because I'm a tax collector, and they're not letting me in because they want you. We could say these Christians are all around and I can't get to you, Jesus. But he said, I'm going to. And Jesus says, let's have lunch. Amen? Amen. Let's have lunch, Zacchaeus. I'm with you, babe. Take a look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, as soon as I get to it, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look towards Jesus. Look towards Jesus. Now I want you to think about that. You have familiarity. You have prejudice. And now let's finish up with distractions. Distractions. They were focused on other things. Notice in our story that the soldiers were preoccupied with Jesus' garment rather than focusing their attention on Jesus. Jesus had a seamless garment, and I want you to remember that. He had a seamless garment. Now, seamless garments in that day were very unusual, very rare, okay? Jesus had one. You didn't just get a seamless garment back then. It was like having a mink coat, I guess, like today. They were looking down at the dice and not up at the Christ. This is why Jesus is so often dismissed, because we are so distracted by other things. And maybe your investments, your business, your hobbies, your house has become the seamless garment. You tell me what it is. You think about it. What has become your seamless garment? What has become my seamless garment? Because we all have them, don't we? We all have that seamless garment that we don't want to part with. Could be anything. If you are playing games trying to accumulate a little more, lift up your eyes to see Jesus dying for you. Jesus dying on that cross is absolutely the most important event in history and in your life. Let me read you something or talk to you about something. Number one, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll see that in a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, there's a story. There was a family who was a missionary family, and they were in China, okay? And what they were is they were under house arrest. So for a long time, they were under house arrest. So all of a sudden, a Chinese soldier comes to the door and it knocks on the door. And they said, you've got a few hours to get your belongings, and you can only take 200 pounds with you. And I'm going to come back, take you to the airport so that you can go back to America. We're going to let you go back to the States. So now they're all excited. They said, okay, we've got 2 hours to figure out what we're going to take. What's most important? Some said, well, you know what? My videotapes are important. The kids said my games and my toys are most important. And they had all this piled up, and they said, well, they're weighing it out, and it's way much more than 200 pounds. And they said, okay, well, let's argue about what's important and what's not. So they started to argue, and they would take an item off, and they'd take another item off. And pretty soon they got down, they had all the arguments are done, and they got 200 pounds, okay? Roman soldier comes back, knocks on the door. Are you ready? Yes, we're ready. Got your 200 pounds? Yes. Did you weigh it all? Yes. Did you weigh your kids? Uh-oh. All of a sudden, all the stuff didn't seem so important anymore. And I think that's what happens to us. The value of putting our attention on what is on the first importance is that it focuses us on what really matters and keeps us from being distracted or preoccupied what really doesn't matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures." Maybe like the soldiers, you have dismissed Jesus. Would you stop for a moment and look up at the cross? Even if you have heard the story 1,000 times, even if you have been turned off by Christians, even if you've gotten a lot going on in your life, would you turn your eyes upon Jesus? Look full in his wonderful face, and all the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let me tell you something. Death is not prejudiced. Death doesn't make any difference how young you are. We saw that last week with 2 kids dying. It came on them sudden. Death does not care. It's not prejudiced against your age. So you could walk out of here today and breathe your last breath. He is not prejudiced. It is not prejudiced against whether you are wealthy or you are poor, whether you are black or whether you are white. He is not prejudiced. Won't you come? Won't you come this morning to Jesus? Won't you? Would you all stand, every head bowed and every eye closed? There are people here that I don't really know. And I don't know where you are as far as your spiritual growth, or maybe some Christians have turned you off. I don't know that or not for sure. But I know one thing. Jesus loves you, and he wants you to look up at the cross at him today. Well, actually, he's not on the cross anymore, folks. He's right here, and he could be right in your heart this morning if you would just invite him in. That's all you need to do. And if you're here and you're a Christian, you're part of the family, and people are prejudiced against you because of the way you act as a Christian, then you have some things to deal with. Maybe it's all too familiar. Maybe the Easter Bunny comes and goes and you never think about it again. Or maybe you've got distractions. Maybe you're building a road to nowhere. Maybe that's you today. Maybe God's just laid something on your heart this morning that you need to pray about. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer to those who want to invite Jesus Christ in as Lord over your life. Today is the day. Remember, death is not prejudiced. So I want to pray a prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me of invitation and invite Christ in. And may this Easter be the absolute best Easter you've ever had. Dear God, I admit that I am a sinner. I understand that my sin has separated me from you. I believe that your son, Jesus Christ, died for me and rose again from the grave to offer me this gift of eternal life. I open the door to my heart and invite Christ in to be my personal Savior. Forgive me of my sins and make me your child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this. Amen. Is there anybody like that this morning? Did anybody pray that prayer for the first time? Amen. Anybody else? I'm going to open the altar as the band plays a verse, a song. Won't you come? And let's deal with some things that we've been needing to deal with. Come on.
There's a secret I must tell. Of all the love I've found, and it's written in my heart. The day you tore my world apart. Hallelujah, King forever, and friend and Savior. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood, Jesus' blood, and the secret it will run to the corners of the earth, where every woman, every son carry high their chains undone.
Father God, we come to you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your son. We thank you for an opportunity to worship you, to love you. We thank you for the opportunities that you are going to give us in these next few weeks to grow closer to you and to help others grow closer to you, to love you and to help others love you. Lord, show me the road that I'm building and make it clear to me so that I can start another road that's built towards you. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.